Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
All right, let's talk gardening. By the way, let's hear from you with your gardening queries. 083 311 3311. Alton, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran.
Good to talk to you today. I hear a lot of lawnmowers out over the last few days.
Yeah, it's fantastic weather, really, in the last couple of days. There's great drying. And so it's good to tackle your lawn now at this time, just to keep it tidy and keep it in check as well. Because there has been a lot of soft growth in the last couple of weeks, that really the lawns are getting a little bit untidy looking. So it's good to raise your lawnmower up high and just do a tip mow on it, just to keep it in check. Mm. Now, by doing that as well, you kind of expose the lawn to, let's say, what weeds are in it, and then exactly what amount of moss is in it as well. So it's a good time of year is to treat the lawns for the weeds and the moss as well.
Mm. And is that sort of including a feed for the lawn as well, also?
Yeah, exactly, because if they're gone very pale in colour as well,
you want
to really green them up and have a lovely lush green colour on your lawns. So I'd recommend a thing called a Hygia Weed Feed and Moss Killer. It's like a granulated fertiliser that you do dressing over the whole lawn. And that will get rid of any broadleaf weeds that are in your lawn, and as well as that, any moss that's in it. And now with the moss as well, that kind of forms a patch in the lawn. So it's a good idea, after about 3 days or so, just to rake out that patch as much as possible, so that it allows the fertiliser to go down into the ground and to put nourishment back into the soil, and then to feed the grass, so that the grass will thicken up in those patchy areas where the moss has been as well. So the Hygia Weed Feed Moss Killer is quite a handy one to use, really, just to put a nice green sheen on your lawn.
Sean Kane, the singer, was talking to me the other day, Alton, and he was saying that now he's allowing his lawn to be wildflowers because he wants to attract the bees in and all of that.
Exactly, and it's lovely to have even a part of the lawn, let's say, to naturalise it and to put in things. Like, I mean, you see now at the moment the lovely spring bulbs coming up, let's say the lovely snowdrops, the daffodils, the crocuses, things like that. And I'd plant those in your lawn so that it gives great colour. Even at this time of the year, it's fantastic for the bees to have feed at this time of the year. So use a lot of the spring bulbs, underplant with those, and then top plant with the wildflower mixes. Now, there's lovely meadow mixes that you can get that are kind of, let's say, dwarf to medium to large size, let's say up to about 3 or 4 foot high, lovely meadow grass mixes, and that are specifically for the bees. Or the birds, or even the butterflies as well. So things like lovely, like the cosmos, or even the verbenas, and even sometimes you get lovely lupins and things in it as well that are fantastic for the wildlife.
And will that sort of a garden, then, or that portion of your garden, will that remain in bloom all year round?
Right through the whole summer months, really.
Right,
from the spring to the summer. Now, I love at this time of the year, you have these lovely alpines. And the alpines are lovely rock-free perennials. Mm. And these are kind of things that keep coming every year. You sow them once, they keep coming every year. And you still have a fantastic, almost a blanket of colour with them. So things like arbutus and arabis or Alison saxatile, these are lovely perennial plants that you can put into your borders or into your lawn that will self-seed and keep coming every year. And they're fantastic at this time of year because really you'll have the massive blue. You often find them cascading out over walls and that. So they need very little soil, actually, and they're quite hardy plants. Things like the saxifrages as well. These are like the little pincushion plants that you'd have growing, let's say, in a rockery or in the lawn. And these are lovely red flowers and white and pink that you get for it. Or there's lovely Armeria sea thrift. You often find that along the coast of Ireland. Mm. Lovely, lovely pink, almost like drumsticks flowers that come on it. But they're fantastic right through the early spring into the late summer.
Very good. We're giving away holly bushes, in fact, right throughout the programming here on the station this week by way of commemoration of life, because there's a lovely culture about the holly bush. How would you advise people looking after those?
Yeah, hollies are absolutely lovely evergreen. And as well as They're quite easy to grow, but they're very, very slow growing. So really is to have them planted, let's say, along a hedge. You could have them like that, or even somewhere where they can mature, let's say, for years to come without moving them again. They do not like being the roots disturbed. So wherever they're going to be planted, that's for their life. So I always try and plant them at the boundary of the garden, because they give great, let's say, privacy as well, because they're the evergreen of them as well. But there's lovely array of berries off them in late autumn, which is quite nice. Always go for, you can have lovely varieties. There's lovely JC Van Tall, which is a self-pollinating variety, and you can get that in a variegated one as well. So and they're quite nice to use. Or the Golden King or Silver Queen are lovely hollies as well. But again, they're male and female, but they're lovely variegated foliage off them as well.
Very good. Naomi is in Ross Gray, Ulton, and she says, I have some honesty seedlings in my potting shed. Can I plant them now or just move them into bigger pots?
Not at all. These are honesties, a type of plant that you can throw and grow. So you can throw them in on, as you were saying, doing a lovely wild garden or into the lawn. It's just to scarify or just to rake the surface of the soil and throw the seeds so that they go down into the soil surface, and they'll germinate quite easily. Now, honesty is quite a nice, it's kind of a biennial, really. You'll have the lovely purple flowers on it right through the summer, and then it has these lovely seed heads on them, a lovely round, almost like a 50 pence piece as a seed head on them, which is quite nice in late autumn. Mm. Quite an easy plant to grow. Again, any of those biennials or alpine plants are very good to sow, because they keep coming every year, or self-seeding anyway.
Naomi is also wondering about a Michaelmas daisy plant, and wondering, is that easy to grow, or is it seeds only?
No, very easy to grow. You can take cuttings from it, or you can lift
it. What is it, Ulton?
It's a large white daisy with a yellow eye.
Oh, right.
They're a herbaceous perennial, really, and they're fantastic for if you want something kind of in midsection of the border, because they'll really go up to about 3 foot high, but they do spread quite well. So I mean, really, they'll go nearly 3 foot in diameter. So they do need plenty of space. So a lovely sunny spot is fantastic for the mixing of daisies. But lift and divide them, or even take cuttings during the summertime. They take quite easily.
Right. An old friend of mine, Joe Boland from Cashel, he wants to know, could you ask Ulton, can I move fruit trees, as in red currant bushes and gooseberry, this time of year?
It's very important to do that before they come into leaf. So do it now. In the next three weeks or so, they'll start them to bud out. So really try and lift them now as soon as possible. Now, use the thing called root grow. It's like a bacteria that you put at the base of the roots, a little white powder, and that will give them a great start as well. And wash them well after transplanting. That's the most important thing. Cut off any dead or damaged wood that are on the, let's say, gooseberries or blackcurrants, just to tidy them up a bit, they'll take quite well. Just make sure that you wash them well after transplanting.
All right. What is a good evergreen creeper plant that I could put on my garage wall?
Or climber. Now, there's several things, really. I like the pyracanthus, because they're quite a neat thing up against the garage wall, and you'll have white flowers during the summertime and lovely red or orange or yellow berries during the autumn. So they really are magnificent, and they're evergreen as well, so you'll always have colour throughout the whole year with them. Again, you plant those about every 6 foot apart, because they will grow quite vigorously, and even use a wire frame so that you can weave the branches through it, so that keeps them nice and firm up against the wall. So the pyracanthus are probably the best one for a garage wall.
Right. James is wondering about the availability of a white thorn hedge. He's wondering, can that be got?
Yeah, white thorn hedges, and normally at this time of year when they start budding out, you can get them. Now, they're about 40 cents each. You get them in bundles of 50, bare rooted. Really, when you transplant those, it's important that you do cut them back to about 6 inches. So that makes them bush out an awful lot more. A lot of the nurses would have freezers now that actually slow down the growth on them so that you can get them at this time of the year.
Right, he says he can't get them anywhere. Do you have them at Centenary?
I have only a bundle of 50 at the moment.
Right, okay. Yeah. Will you ask Alton how I can get rid of a creeping weed that has got into my bed of shrubs? It's choked a few of my low-growing shrubs, so I'll have to dig them all out and put weed killer on it. And if so, what weed killer would I use?
No, I wouldn't actually. I wouldn't dig out everything. I would just spot treat the weed itself. Use something like the SBK brushwood killer. You can get that in a litre size, and it's a handheld spray that you just spray onto the weeds itself, anything that's like creeping buttercup or couch grass or anything like that. Just spray onto the foliage of the weeds, and that will kill the weeds and down to the root system as well, so that it doesn't choke your ornamental plants.
All right. I have a new lawn just put down last year, but over the winter it's burnt looking. What can I feed it with, and can I cut it now? Well, you spoke about this earlier. That's it from Tina. But what about the feed specifically to use?
Yeah, well, what's a very good feed for that? Because, you see, if it was it had to be very soft growth that it turned it black, that we got a very hard frost there a couple of nights ago, that would have burnt the soft growth. So really, what I like is as a quick fix is a thing called it's a liquid seaweed feed for lawns. Now you do it's an epithy lawn feed. So if you do two capfuls into a 10-litre watering can and drench that over the area of the lawn, and that will green it up within 3 days and make it lovely and rich and lush foliage on it. Because you see, if it's a lawn that's near the house, you want it to look good. So the epithy lawn seaweed fertilizer is the best one to use.
All right. A listener says, when you ask Galton, when is a good time to plant perennial root cuttings in the ground, such as rudbeckia, phlox, heleniums, etc.? Is the ground too cold at the moment?
No. See, the ground temperature has come up now, and we're 8 degrees. So, I mean, really, it's a good time to do it. Now, with any of the rudbeckias, or even the penstemons as well, that you can take root cuttings from those and transplant them. They take quite easily. Now, do use a lovely gritty compost. Something like the John Lilly soil-based compost is quite good. And even a little dressing of sharp sand just on top of the pot as well, so that they root quite easily. Because you don't want any dampness just at the neck of the cutting at all, because that tends to rot them. So a little bit of grit just on top of the compost, that will help in drainage. And they take quite easily.
Right. Michelle wants to know, can you spray weeds under an apple tree?
You can. Now, I would use either, you can use Roundup or Gallop at the base of the apple tree. Now, as long as the tree is completely dormant, that there's no leaves at the base of the tree. It's just the tree trunk itself. So you can spray right around that. With either Roundup or Gallop, and that will kill any weeds that are there. There is, I think, a Nordoff organic spray as well, if you want to do it organically, and spray that just at the base of the trees as well. That will keep it nice and clean.
All right, somebody else wondering about a fertilizer that could be used when planting early potatoes, Alton.
Yeah, the best one, I think, is the 7617. We sell it in the 50 kg bags. Here, or there's a Grow More fertilizer. If you're doing a kitchen garden, it comes in a 2 kg packet. So the Grow More fertilizer, or the 7617, is the best fertilizer for potatoes.
Okay. Something is eating a listener's daffodils, and he or she is wondering what's the story with that.
Really, with daffodils, you will get a certain amount of damage off them, either with a caterpillar, even at this time of the year, or there's slugs that will damage the trumpets from the daffodil. So really, it's either slugs really that are eating them. So I always tend to go for let's say the dwarf type daffodil. Like the tete-a-tete daffodils, they're quite good, and they stand upright. The taller daffodils tend to flop over and lay on the ground. And what happens is then the slugs eat the trumpet of the daffodil.
All right. And speaking of the potatoes earlier on, somebody wondering, is it safe to cut early seed potatoes now?
You can. Well, really, I would tend to get them to sprout out, to chit out. Now, this is to make the potato, just to this, the eyes of the potato, to grow a little bit. So once they're about, let's say, half an inch in size, then you can divide or split the potato. Sometimes if you do it too early, the potato will tend to get either a mould on the skin and tends to rot it. So it's very important to do it freshly when you're transplanting them into the rows or into the drills that you have. So I would tend to leave it for another little bit. It's still quite cold there. It's very important to get your potato seeds to chit out, and that's to sprout, just about about a half an inch or so, and then transplant them and divide them.
Nancy has an issue with bindweed. Is that right, Alton?
Oh, yeah, bindweed, convolvulus cinerum, convolvulus. It's a lovely white flower comes on it, but it does choke everything. It's quite an invasive weed, really. So with the convolvulus, as the convolvulus is starting to come up, the bindweed at the very base of the plants, it's just to do a spot treatment on that. Use the SBK brushwood killer spray that we were talking about earlier, and spray that in between your shrubs onto the bindweed. Now, but the bindweed will have a very long white root on it, and that travels quite a distance. So it's very important to spray it onto the foliage of the bindweed so it works down through the root system and kills it with the SBK brushwood killer. It's a good translocator chemical that will get down to the root system and kill it.
All right. And just finally, if you would, getting rid of ivy under a laurel hedge.
Now, with ivy, the same thing applies. You really have to cut the ivy right down to ground level. So you just have the stumps of the ivy, and then treat it with Roundup stump killer. Now, this is like you paint it onto the stumps of the ivy to kill the whole root system of it. Or sometimes I would use, if you don't have Roundup stump killer, use Grazon 90 or SBK brushwood killer, just to dab that onto the stumps of the ivy so it will kill it. Otherwise, the ivy will keep coming back all the time. So it's very important to paint it onto the stumps of the ivy so it gets down to the root system and kills it.
All right. Alton, it's always a pleasure. Happy gardening. Thank you. Good morning to you. Alton Nesbitt there of Centenary Home and Garden. Hi, Fran. It's been 12 months since the South Tipperary Federation ICA gathering at the Hotel Manila, with your good self and Muriel providing the entertainment. We have celebrated International Women's Day on the 8th of March in some way. COVID-19 has stopped all of catching up. So on Monday for Women's Day, would you give us a mention and best wishes? That's from June. Hello, June, of South Tipperary Federation of ICA. That was a lovely, lovely occasion in the Manila. And in fact, if memory serves me right, I think that was our very last gig. I think that was our very last gig, June. So, yeah, happy memories and all of that. There you go. And of course, we'll give you a mention on Monday. In fact, you might like to join us on air and get involved in the conversations as well. Because just in case you didn't hear me say so earlier on Monday, it being International Women's Day, we are going to talk about women for 3 hours. There you go now. 1800 938 007. Let me see. Fran, I can multitask. I can be in social media while eating my dinner and listening to my partner's problems at the same time. When the talking stops, just nod and say,
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.